I'm Mia, and you're listening to Talk It Out, where myself and a guest will discuss a topic through music. Today, our topic is the modern view of religion, and my two guests are Joe Grady and Jessica Martinez.
Hi, I'm Father Joe Grady. I am from St. John the 23rd. It's the Catholic parish just across Shield Street. We're kind of a smaller church, and we serve basically all of the Catholic students at Colorado State University. So I'm the assistant pastor there. Which I guess means that when there's time to do a podcast, I'm the one who gets sent.
Yeah.
So that's more or less my job. And I'm here with Jessica.
My name is Jessica Martinez. I work as a FOCUS missionary. FOCUS stands for the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. So we're at colleges and universities across the U.S. And here I am at CSU.
Nice. Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the modern view of religion. And personally, I think it's becoming a little bit less appealing to people because the world's becoming less appealing to people. And religion just becoming more controversial in general. So I want to discuss like the reasons why I think people are like hesitant to join religions. Mm-hmm. So the two main reasons I think people aren't interested is because one, they have the mentality that the world sucks and they think God should be the one fixing it. And it seems like he isn't. So they're like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm not going to invest my time in religion. The second one is there's just a lot of like controversy about like gay rights. And there's a lot of tension between Christians and Muslims right now. And all that stuff. So we're just going to talk about that. I have some mm-hmm. songs that I'm going to ask you guys to listen to. And okay. then based off those songs, we'll like form the discussion from that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. I'm not sure if I have the rights for this song yet. So I would encourage like the listener to listen to this and then come back to the podcast and listen to our conversation. Mm-hmm. But it's called Levitate Me by Save Us. So this song is called Levitate Me by Save Us. And it's about the first point I just said, which is the world kind of sucks right now. Why is God mm-hmm. not fixing it? And some of the lyrics he says is, oh God, have you lost your mind? Oh God, how can you be so blind? And then that leads into him saying, yeah, levitate me. So he's like, if you're not going to help the world, then I'm going to try to do that. Uh-huh. So that's just kind of the premise of the song. Do you guys have any like immediate thoughts about it?
Yeah, it's a very like visceral song. Like he's, you know, kind of crying from the depths of
yeah.
who he is to like,
desperate,
you know,
yeah.
saying, hey, God, listen up. Yeah, I think it's not just a problem of the world sucking right now. I think it's the kind of the classical problem of evil. Evil not like in like, you know, like a horror movie where like with a doll with a crack yeah. down her face and stuff. Evil as in like, you know, a lack just, of a do good.
Yeah.
You know, like there should
bad
be good
people.
Here.
Yeah.
And there's like, there's war, there's famine, there's all yeah. kinds of stuff. And so basically the formulation of the objection to God's existence is, okay, God is all good and he's all powerful and yet evil exists. So either he's not all good or he's not all powerful or he doesn't exist. That's kind of like what the argument is.
Yeah. I think he's just desperate for people to just be better. And I don't know. I think he's just like lost the hope in religion. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to this song because the world kind of does suck. But then the way I think of this like issue is the world sucks, but I think we should use God as a way to make ourselves better. And then if we make ourselves better, then we can make the world better collectively.
Yeah. And a lot of the times I feel like the world, there's a lot of reasons the world sucks.
Yeah.
A lot of it, I mean, it's through human choice. I like believe that God gave us the free will to choose, you know, whether or not to love him, whether or not to do good or to do well. And so I think that's where a lot of it, when he's asking like, God, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's why, is there so much evil? Well, it's like, it all comes down to, well, a lot of it comes down to the person too, like
yeah.
the person choosing. They get to choose whether it's right or wrong. And those are things out of our control. Cause we can control
yeah.
what somebody else does.
And then there's like, I mean, there's all kinds of different responses that you can have in the face of the suffering. Like you hear the temptation in the singer's voice to just sort of check out. Or like, can I see the lyrics again?
Yes.
Like he sort of starts out saying, we're going to dance tonight. So there's almost like a saying, like you can hear kind of the temptation of, okay, things are bad. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go dance and not think about it. And I think a lot of people take that approach.
Just like when in any issue in their life.
Yeah, any issue. Like when something gets difficult.
They'll just like
kind of like the ancient Greeks, they called it hedonism. It's ignoring
the problems
of life and then, you know, going to whatever, you know, whatever pleasure it is.
Oh, you think he's doing that in the song?
Well, I don't think he's doing that.
No.
But I think you hear that temptation.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's saying, I think you kind of hear
that. Yeah. He's like thinking about it.
And then what's also like equally kind of escapist is what's called stoicism. There's a way that some people just give themselves to virtue and like, I'm going to be a good person. And
what do you mean?
So like, I'm just going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to study hard.
Oh, like self-improve.
Yeah. It's sort of like a very American pragmatic spirit of, you know, I'm just going to be a good person by myself.
Without God.
Without the help of anything, I'm just going to fix the world's
problems. Do you think that's reliable or that's accurate or possible for people to do? Or do you think God's
in my own experience?
Yeah. Because humans are, like, have flaws.
At least I do.
We all do. I think that's pretty agreeable.
I think most people would admit to the same.
Yeah. I think that we do have flaws, and I think we can also individually make ourselves better, but I think God also helps with it. So I'm, like, kind of mixed. I'm like, I would like guidance from, like, a God figure. I don't really know what religion I am. I'm just like, God's kind of, like, there. I don't know. Yeah. But that's a good guidance to have, but then I also, like, believe in myself that I can improve myself because I know myself. So I, like, I don't know. I kind of am both, like, leaning both ways on what you just said. So do you think this is a good mentality to have? Like, the world sucks, why isn't God fixing it? What do you think the solution to that mentality is?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Let me narrate me staring at the ceiling for a second. definitely, like, the question is a good question to have. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you should question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think ask that question, why does suffering exist? And what is a proper religious response in the face of suffering? I think that's something we need to think about every day. It almost sounds like there's sort of an answer contained in his question, the way he's phrasing it. But the fundamental question, I think, is good. Like, what is human suffering? And then what, you know, based on my religious tradition, how can I enter into that more deeply in a way that's not escapist, be it hedonist or stoic?
Yeah, because that's not productive, obviously.
I mean, like, obviously the best is, like, Mother Teresa. Here's somebody who moved to India and
just does a lot of good with her life.
Right. And just noticed that there are people dying in the street and said, wait, why are people dying in the street? Why don't we just bring them in and let them die with dignity?
Okay. Yeah. So that's, like, a solution. Really?
Yeah. So it was kind of like, she didn't.
It yourself. Don't rely on.
Well, yeah. I mean, she did rely on divine help.
I mean, yeah. But like, not like physically, like,
but she wasn't like raising her fist to heaven and saying, God, why don't you do something?
And I think a lot of people think, like, God, there's
well, more than that. I mean, I don't
like
know.
He's just sitting up there and then he's, like, supposed to organize everything so it all works out. But I think it's more like he's supposed to help us do the work.
Yeah.
If it's a he, by the way, I don't know. So do you think we discussed that one enough, that topic?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to move on to the second reason why I think people aren't interested in religion as much. And that's because of just general controversial topics and, like, differences between religions and, like, tensions like that. So the song I chose for this one is called Multi-Love by Unknown Mortal Orchestra. And I'm going to play it for you guys in the studio right now. And I encourage people to listen to it separately if I don't have the rights for it. Okay, so that song was Multi-Love by Unknown Mortal Orchestra, and now we're going to start talking about, like, why people aren't interested in religion because of, like, the controversial stuff. And that song was, I think you guys could tell, about, like, gay relationships, kind of. Did you get that from the song, hopefully?
It's about a lot of stuff.
But, like, that was, like, one of the main lyrics that caught my attention was, she don't want to be a man or a woman, she wants to be your love. And that's just kind of saying, like, if you love someone, it doesn't matter what gender they are. So, and then my question for you guys is, what's your stance on, like, gay relationships or your thoughts on the song either?
I mean, so I would affirm exactly, you know, what the church affirms. The sexual union is preserved for marriage, which in the church is reserved to relationships between man and women.
So do you think it's, like, a sin to be gay then?
Is that to be? Absolutely not.
Or to perform a gay interaction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but to be, no. Like, because we all have desires. And our ex, like, even as a woman, as a heterosexual woman, you know, like, I have this desire to be with a man. Like, any sin of sexual union is reserved for marriage. So kind of deal. Okay. Like, just because I have the desire to be with a man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's, like, doesn't make me wrong.
So what a sin, what's a sin, basically? It's, like, doing something that God wouldn't approve of, or is that not a correct definition?
I'd say it's that the human person is created for, you know, goodness, truth, and beauty, and our actions can sort of fall short of that.
How does a gay relationship fall short of that? Sorry,
well, I guess yeah. There's, I think we really need to go back, like, not to just, you know, how does a gay relationship fall short of that, but how does a Christian have a different approach to sexuality in general? Does that make sense? Because if we just sort of like start with the conclusions, then we just sort of yell conclusions at each other, and we don't ever really get to the bottom of what's at.
Okay.
You know, what's at a conversation? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. What do you want to go back to?
Okay. Like, so I have a letter here written in the first centuries of Christianity. And so this is written by a guy sort of describing Christians from the outside. So, you know, the Roman Empire, it was all kinds of, you know, things that we would definitely disapprove of nowadays, like, you know, barbarian fights, or gladiator fights. And he says, like, he's just observing Christians from the outside, and he's saying, like, they're kind of different from everybody else, and I don't really know why. And he says they live in our countries, but they just act like foreigners. I mean, but they're like foreigners passing through. He says they marry like everyone else and they have children, but they don't destroy their offspring. And he keeps going, they share a common table, but not a common bed. Whereas we Greeks, we share our beds, but not our tables. He's noting that like Christians, all of a sudden they have a different mentality than the world around us.
And which isn't a bad thing.
Which isn't a bad thing. But they also seem to be kind of happy. And
other people are happy too. Yeah.
They are. But they have this like really weird approach to sexuality that the Greeks didn't have.
Oh, he was Greek.
Yeah. Does it make sense? Like all of a sudden they have this different approach.
Just in
little
general?
By little, like sort of eked its way into the Roman Empire. And that didn't necessarily sort of, you know, conquer it with like political power or something like that at the first part. But little by little, they said, hey, we're going to have a different proposal of life. And little by little, people started to look at like human sexuality in a different way. And things like...
Of a more strict way, would you say?
I don't know if I would say strict. Because I feel like sexuality in general, I think a lot of the time people can view like the rules, I guess, of the church as strict and constrict, like binding. But I think there's a lot of freedom in that.
Mm.
In that sense, it's a different way. It's like, rather than keeping me from doing something, I'm free to love. I'm free to choose love over my own desires. Does that make sense?
But so. You're free to choose it, but only, but like within limitations. Because like, you can't love a woman.
But it depends what your definition of love. If it's just physical love, it's like a selfless love. And like what I believe.
So
that.
You guys are saying like, the physical part of a gay relationship is the part that's like, no, like that's not agreeable, I guess.
We had this guy called Matt Fradd come and talk to us the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Australia and he talked about pornography.
Okay.
And he said, hey, I'm not here to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you what reality is, and you're free to make your own decisions.
What is reality then?
Yeah, reality is that sexuality was created for like a twofold purpose union and procreation.
Yeah, okay, I get that. I was talking to someone about it, and his view on gay relationships. I keep going back to that, but he said he doesn't really approve of it because he thinks that like in a family there should be a woman influence and a male influence for the kid. Otherwise, it's not healthy. That was his take on it. Do you guys like kind of see where he's coming from?
Yeah. I mean, I see where he's coming from.
And then,
there is the danger of like falling into stereotypes then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then it just becomes, well, you need to be a man, you know?
Yeah. I know. That's like, what I thought when he said it. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like maybe there's something to that.
Cause like, I think I'm a female and I have masculine characteristics and feminine characteristics. And like the men I know, they have masculine characteristics and feminine characteristics. So I thought what he said was kind of like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't think you should just base that off of why you don't agree with the gay relationship.
But you see how like we're now getting at like a more deeper area of discussion. So we're not just yelling conclusions at each other at this point.
Yeah.
But now we're like talking about real anthropological issues. Like,
yes.
What does it mean to be a man and what does it mean to be a woman? And how do we say that in a way that doesn't reduce those things to stereotype? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this is the good conversation that we need to have.
Thank you.
Because otherwise, you know, it's just a bunch of talking heads on CNN or Fox News.
And I think because people just watch people fight about like, oh, gay relations are good. Oh, they're bad. They're good. Whatever. And they don't talk about like why. That's why people kind of like back away from religions if you just talk about it like in an angry
Yeah, and then also to know that, like, we can disagree, but, like,
yeah,
know, live together and be happy.
I know.
And, like if somebody comes to me in my office, I'm going to say everything the church teaches.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to say, like, you know what? You're 100% welcome in this church.
Nice.
And I think that, you know, we have students who, you know, have all kinds of different experiences
yeah.
from their past. And
so if there was, like, a gay person going to your church, you wouldn't mind?
No.
Nice. Because
I mean, I'd be very clear, like, about what we believe.
Well, yeah.
But absolutely, but, I'd
and
say,
you just said, like, it's more the physical kind of thing that's wrong, right? It's not like being gay
sort of
is
like
the
in a pragmatic approach, like, that's where push comes to shove, yes.
Okay.
But there's a lot to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a general conclusion, yeah, they're welcome.
Okay.
Always welcome. Everyone, not just even in that aspect, but everyone, even if they have different beliefs.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, like, I mean, the line for confession is, like, always long. Like,
okay.
it's not like sinners are not welcome in the church.
Yeah.
That's,
oh,
you know,
right.
Like, that's why we have a confession line.
So,
you know?
I think your view right here is, like, a healthy perspective. The church I went to, I'm from Bakersfield. The church I went to, I'm not going to name the name, mm-hmm. even though I want to, but.
Was it a Catholic church?
Yeah, it was Catholic. They were, like, anti other views. It's like, if you don't agree with this, like, bye. And they just, yeah. So I think also when there's bad churches like that, it just creates a lot more drama and makes people not want to be involved with religion. Even though I'm not really religious, I think it's a good thing to, like, have some structure on how to be a good person and, like, how to, like, improve yourself. Like, so I just think if more churches were open-minded, it would just be a better atmosphere. Not even just Catholic churches, just, like, any religion, any, like, religious institute could just be open-minded. That's the solution. Like, the church that I went to, they specifically were, like, anti-Muslims. So do you think that's a healthy way to run a church?
No.
No.
And then how do you think they could get, how do you think they could, like, improve from that?
I went, there's an international relief organization. It's called Catholic Relief Services.
Okay.
And it's, you know, one of the bigger NGOs in the United States, and they operate in, like, 174 third world countries. So that's, like, the Catholic Church runs this organization where we do all kinds of development projects in third world countries. And this April, I had the opportunity to go to Senegal. So Senegal, you know, third world country, a lot of struggle in development. And, you know, right next to, I'm going to talk about Gambia. I went to Gambia
okay,
too. So,
ahead.
You know, Gambia, 95% Muslim, 5%, you know, other religions,
yeah.
Catholic, Christian. Okay. And since the 1980s, Catholic Relief Services has been working to get rid of malaria in Gambia. And so just this year, they did another sort of net distribution of mosquito nets.
So you're kind of, like, hinting at, like, even though most
yeah,
of them aren't Catholic, we're
exactly,
still helping them.
Exactly.
So that's, like, the good Christian perspective.
So, like, yeah, exactly. There's a million yeah. people in Gambia, and we distributed almost a million mosquito nets.
Yeah.
Basically, I think our approach is, like, we're not helping you because you're Catholic.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you're Muslim or not. You have a human problem, malaria,
and, we'll
and
help
we're
it.
Here to help. You
yeah,
know?
That's good. So.
I think if I can do, like, a shout out of a good resource on sort of controversial topics in the church, like gay marriage, there's a guy named Bishop Barron. He's a bishop in California, and he's the assistant bishop in Los Angeles. And he did an interview on this thing called the Rubin Report. It's a, you know, a gay man who interviews all kinds of different personalities.
That's so, Ruben?
Yeah, that's Ruben.
Okay.
And so Bishop Barron went on his show and did, like, a two-part interview. So if you just go to YouTube and type in Rubin Report, R-U-B-I-N.
Rubin Report.
Yeah.
With
Bishop Barron. Yeah, it's just Bishop Barron and Ruben having a conversation. Mm-hmm. And you see, like, they disagree on lots of points, but, like, they...
They don't, like, yell at each other.
Right. Yeah, and I think Bishop Barron also sort of presents, you know, Catholic teaching in a way that's saying, like, look, it's obviously not easy to understand coming from a very postmodern perspective.
Well, I guess I have a very modern perspective, and that's why it's hard for me to, like, understand a lot of what they were saying. Or just when I go to church in general, it's just like, I don't know about that. But I don't think all Christians are terrible people just because I don't agree. I think it goes both ways. So the people in my church, I think they should be more accepting. And then the people who, like, don't agree with the church, they should also be accepting, basically. And I have another song that kind of talks about how we shouldn't label and stereotype stuff. It's called We Could Be Free by Vic Mensa, and I'm going to play that for you guys right now. Okay, so I just played We Could Be Free by Vic Mensa. I would recommend listening to this on Spotify and then reading the genius annotations. That might be a little complicated, but there's some really good insight from the annotations. So I'm just going to point out a lyric really quick, but faith alone can't make things right. And I think this is like, just because you believe in God doesn't make you a good person. You have to like apply it to your life. And when I say God, I don't just mean like Jesus. I mean any religion or any faith or anything. You can't just like say, I believe it, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
You have to apply it to your life. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. The song's not about religion. It's just about racism and how people stereotype. So
yeah,
for the annotations on Spotify, Vic Mensa was saying like he is half African American, half German, and he thinks of himself as both. He has both cultures in his life. But then when he goes to school and stuff, he's like stereotyped because his skin's black. So he was talking about how like his teachers put him in like different programs because they thought he was like slower than the other kids. And then he also talks about police brutality and how people just stereotype like his friend who got shot just because he had a gun, even though he didn't reach for it. And there's a lot of examples of that in recent news. So basically the whole message is just don't stereotype people, because that's not accurate. Because everybody, even if you are Catholic, like all Catholics are different. Even if you are Muslim, all Muslims are different. Like even if you're a girl, all girls are different. You know, that's just like the basic of the song. So do you guys have any thoughts about it?
Well, I was kind of struck by a couple of things. I think the big words he uses are free, like we could be free.
Yeah.
We don't know that we could be free. If only we knew we were slaves to the pains of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I don't want to wait for the afterlife. I don't want a vigil by candlelight. I don't want to be the new sacrifice. I don't want to turn into a poltergeist.
Which is like a ghost.
There's something like almost kind of beautiful about like he doesn't want a superficial religion.
Yeah.
I think especially, you know, we were talking about why is it that millennials don't go to church? I think a lot of times we were just educated to say, okay, it's Sunday, we're going to go to church, you can be a good person.
Like, okay. And I think parents are kind of responsible. They're like, they just like shove their kids in the church and don't explain why.
Right. And if my religion is just sort of superficial candles and a nice story about an afterlife, then it's
pretty much meaningless.
Yeah. Then it's not really going to respond to the needs that I have right here and now, which are like pretty dramatic as he's, you know, describing them in the song. So yeah, if the passage says put faith in God, but faith alone can't make things right. So if I just pay lip service to some sort of divine being that I've never encountered, then you're right, this is totally insufficient. But he's still loyal though to that fundamental intuition, kind of like what we were talking about at the beginning, about his need for freedom, need for love. Like he's not going to ignore that. He's not cynical.
He's just
about
ignoring
it.
The superficial part about like,
yeah, he's
just because
he's
ignoring, I believe
anything,
it doesn't mean anything.
Right, that doesn't correspond to.
Yeah. And I think that's also like why a lot of, or not a lot, I'm just going to go back to Christianity and Islam. If you think of it just as faith, then it gets egotistic. It's like, my faith is correct, which is why I don't like you. So I think that's an unhealthy kind of thing. So I think it's good to not think of it like that. I think it's good to not think of it just of having faith, but applying it to your life so that you can like see the like similarities between religions.
And even if you do say your faith is correct, I think the conclusion should be, my faith is correct, therefore I do like you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I take seriously what Christ is saying, that's a call to love my enemy. Which, like, practically speaking, though, is not the most easy thing in the world.
I know. But that's, like, the point, right? To make ourselves better. I think that's, like, the whole point of religion. I've said that a lot.
And it's just interesting, like, that you keep saying that.
Yeah,
though,
Because
it's, like, I think, you know, in the 1700s, there was a guy named Immanuel Kant.
Okay.
And he was a philosopher, and he wrote a book about religion within the bounds of pure reason. And he argued, okay, all of that other stuff about, you know, Jesus and rising from the dead and, you know, all of that stuff, whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
I could care less about that.
That's I don't like, care about it at all.
He's saying that's mythology. But what what I'm interested in religion is morality. And he really sort of dominated the modern approach to religion that says basically, as long as you're good, you know, it's good to have, you know, sort of a Jesus character that you follow, but his role is that of just a, you know, kind of a moral example. His role is not an actual savior. So I'm glad
you got that from what I said, because that's what I was trying to convey.
So that's Immanuel Kant's position, and I like profoundly disagree with that.
Oh really? Why?
Because I could care less about a religion reduced to morals.
Oh, so you're like
if
opposite.
I want to be a good person, I should be a Mormon. If I want a good system of rules, like I'd join the Mormon church. Like if you want to be a good person, you don't even really need a religion, do you?
I guess I don't need it, but like I have like a
exactly
feeling.
I think that's exactly what our generation is discovering.
Yeah.
That like Immanuel Kant, I don't need, you know, the Jesus example. I just want your morale. Yeah, so more and more, I guess, religious organizations have tried to conform themselves to Kant's moralistic reduction.
Really?
So, yeah, if you look at all kinds of, especially mainline Protestants, if you listen to a sermon, it's just like, here's Jesus, so be good. And that's kind of the conclusion of the sermon. And it's like, well, great. Oh, you know, I came to church sort of burdened. Now I hear that homily and now I'm even more burdened because now I have to be good too.
Because it's like your responsibility.
Right. And so I'm not interested in a moralistic religion. It's completely uninteresting to me.
You don't think it's your responsibility to be better or what?
I mean, I'm saying that that's a totally secondary factor.
Yeah. So what's the primary factor?
So like we have, you know, the line here in the mystery. And kind of what Balthazar was talking about was like, was freedom. Like, I desire freedom.
Okay.
I think that's kind of like what the song is. Like, I desire an experience of liberation.
Yeah.
And so.
I respect that.
And if stoically being a good person can give me liberation, then I'll do that. But, you know, in my experience, that hasn't worked.
Okay.
If hedonism can give me an experience of happiness and freedom, then I'll do that. But if instead I can encounter a communion of persons wherein there is a different reality, there's a changed humanity. If I can encounter that, then I experience authentic liberation.
Okay. That's cool.
in participation with this communion of persons. So for me, it's never about just being a good person. That's something secondary. It's very secondary.
And that's the opposite for me.
Right. And so I think our generation...
Are you worried about that? That our generation's moving towards...
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing that since Immanuel Kant, the last 300 years.
Yeah.
And it's much stronger in Protestant theology than it is in Catholic theology. You know, I think... John Calvin was very much like this. People can definitely disagree with me, but that Calvinist approach is very kind of legalistic, you know, like the sort of don't be drinking, don't you touch that. but you know, Catholics, you know, it's much different approach to morals. Don't get me wrong, like morality is important.
Yeah, but it's just secondary.
When I talk about religion.
So it's just our values are switched. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's very secondary.
Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting to hear like your guys' perspectives on everything. Okay. Well, like,
being a good person. Yeah, it's important, but that's like
that's not why you're religious.
No, it's not why I'm religious. Just to be a good person.
Okay.
It's because I find
so then maybe I'm not religious.
I don't know.
Need to think about that a little more. Okay. Well, I think that's kind of it. Do you have anything else to add?
This was a great conversation.
Let's do it again.
Okay. Yeah. I know. We might like do another episode. Yeah.
I do say if anybody.
Oh yeah, like invitation to Ram Catholic
have questions. Or even just want to have a conversation about anything, you are totally and completely welcome to our community, to look for us or anybody else there.
So we're just right across Shield on University. So like behind Momololo's and Jim's Wings.
You guys seem very welcoming.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might not be nice to you, as I said. But
I mean, that's fine.
But you're welcome to hang out.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
No, thanks for having us. It's a lot of fun.
Moral of the podcast, listen to opposing viewpoints and you might not oppose them as much as you thought. Even though I'm not religious, Joe, Jessica, and I managed to have a productive conversation. Thanks for listening to Talk It Out on 90.5 KCSU and good luck with your life.
Heck yeah.